Let me tell you about my father. My dad was born October 25th, 1925. Raised in Coshocton for a little while. Depression hit. They lost their home. Lived on a farm. Grandpappy bootlegged for a while. Now, their name wasn't Kennedy, otherwise.
You'd be rich.
Worked at Coal Mines, Hutt Coal Company, Sun Coal Company, Barnes Coal Company. Got a job at General Electric. Started going to night school, become an electrician. Went to high school at Sacred Heart School, dropped out 11th grade, joined the Marine Corps. Infantry, went to Iwo Jima, Nagasaki. Came back and raised his family. Five children, three foster children. Married my mother. Awesome father. My dad, I was in law enforcement for years and years. And my pap, always concerned for the son. You know, he bought a handgun and a holster. He had it fixed underneath his steering wheel of his car. That way, if I ever needed help, he was there to help me. I mean, that's amazing, you know. He told me a lot of stories about the war. And how did I learn about my dad? I hung out with him, you know. My uncle told me a lot of stories about my dad. And my mama has. But man, when I sit there and talk to my dad, it's just awesome, I mean. I got to know him. The more I knew my dad, the more I loved him. I mean, amazing. They worked two and three jobs to raise a family and sacrifice and just awesome. The more I know my dad, the more respect I have for him. I love him more today than I did when he was still alive. Because I recognize all the stuff he went through for me. Awesome. I wish he was here today. But through Christ, I'll see him again. Amen. But it's knowing the Father. Knowing the Father is so important. So I just want to share something with you here. Ask my wife, my son, to just do a kind of represent what I'm talking about here this morning.
Hey, Mom, what's Dad like? How was he when you first met him?
Oh, my. He was wild and crazy. He was fun. Yep. He was always joking around, but the thing that made me fall in love with him, he was compassionate toward everybody. He wasn't biased to anybody, never made fun of people. That's what drew me to him.
What does he like? What's he into? What's his hobbies?
Not enough. He doesn't spend time on his hobbies. But I'll tell you what he likes. He likes riding on his tractor. That's what he likes. He loves cutting grass, spending time outside, just riding on that mower and talking to God.
What does he say? Is there something that he says all the time? Like, does he have a phrase or anything?
land sakes. Pace yourself. That's another one. Yep. Yep. You know, best thing, right there's your father. Just go ask him what he's like.
Oh, he's right.
Go talk to him.
Am I allowed to?
Yes. Oh, okay. That's how you'll know him better. Oh. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Dad, son. How are you? Boy, I'm a witness to talk to you. Man. Awesome.
Good to see you.
Man, it's good to be seen.
Well, what do you like?
I like yellow ducks, old pickup trucks. No. Probably one of my favorite things I really love when I see other people giving to other people. When I see the love that people have for one another and they're willing to sacrifice what they have to help other people, that's probably the one thing that really gets me fired up, man. It just blesses me, you know. Kind of like God did with the son Jesus, you know. That means a lot to me. But, you know, I do like, summertime, I like cook on the grill. I love hanging out with God. I love my family. You know, I really love that. You know? And, you know, I really enjoyed my life. For 40 years, I served in law enforcement. And I was really blessed to do that and serve my community, you know. And then to have you come in my footsteps now, you've been serving in law enforcement, it's really means a lot to me. And I'll tell you, I mean, some days you'll have them days like, man, what do I do? How do I get through it? And, well, your dad got through it for 40 years. You can do the same thing. But anytime you got questions on something, like, man, how you get through this? How do you do that? I mean, people insulted you. They hated you for the wrong reasons. I mean, how do you get through that? And, well, you know in your heart you're doing the right thing. You know what you're doing. That it's what you're called to do, and you want to do it. And even though they might not appreciate it today, I tell you, they may come that they might. That's what's... And we this conversation, my son and I can go on all afternoon. You know that? I have so much into me to pour into him for life itself. And the main thing here is that we can ask other people about relationships, about somebody. You know, I could go on, I could start talking to Marty back here the same way. I say, man, what's Chuck's like, man? I mean, what's... I said, I could, okay. I noticed your chairs are really separated back here the other day, so I won't get too deep in that. But what Marty would say, hey, Stark, just talk to Chuck. He can tell you more than I can. And folks, it's the same way with God. With God. You know, Ryan was questioning, like, what's Dad like, what's this like? But here I was right in the same room. Same room with him. All he had to do was turn towards me and say, hey, Dad, how about this? How about that? See, God's the same way. God is the same way. He's omnipresent. He's always around us. God is a spirit. He can't be locked out of no place. We can shut the door, turn off the lights, pull down the curtains, crank up our music. He's still there. Isn't that an awesome thing? Some days you get mad at him and you want to talk to him. He's still there. You know, Ryan could get mad at me, but I'm still here. Relationship. That's the key we've been looking at here lately. God truly wants that relationship with you. Think of that. You. Now, we all got relationships in here. We got friends. Amen? All right. Amen. But there's no greater relationship you ever have than the one with God. That's the one that we need to cultivate more than anything. You know? And the awesome thing that God, He wants to have that relationship with you. Think of that. He proved it. He proved it through His Son Jesus. Amen? He died for you. Now, my wife and I, we dated for a while. I don't remember how long now. But somewhere along the line, we started going steady. Something that she saw in me. She talked about how I like people stuff, but she didn't mention my long hair, my Camaro, my good looks, you know? Yeah. What's that?
Those were
outward things. Yeah, but I was interviewed also with John Travolta for a movie he did, but I turned it down, so yeah.
Yeah.
But during the process, I mean, we just hang out, going everywhere together. But there come a time we separated. I can't remember why now. But we were dating. Back in Dumb. It could be. But we were going steady. You younger folks don't know what steady is, but that's when you... Anyway, we were a couple, put it that way. And I'm not sure what happened. We just separated for 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm telling you what, probably the best thing ever happened. Because it broke my heart. I mean, we were trying to... we were going to make sure we were with each other. Yeah, I'm doing cool, you know. My wife had this car. It was hilarious. An old Ford, and the seat was broken on it. And she'd be going down the street, stop for a stop sign. And when she gassed it, when the seat would go back, you almost fall backwards. You know? So she'd be going down the street. I'd be coming down my car. I'd wave at her. We get stopped opposite stop lights, you know. And of course, she's trying to be cool. You got her friends with her, you know. And the light turned green. I barked the tires on my car. And she punched the gas in her car. And whoop, she goes backwards. Like, ah. But I did find out later on, very beneficial when I was dating her in that car. Yeah. I didn't have any old tricks to get her back here, you know. No, never mind. But the thing of it... Oh, that's where we kept our sandwiches at, I meant. Yeah, yeah, food, okay. But there come a time that we realize, yes, I mean, the first day I met her, I said, I'm going to marry her. I knew that when I walked down out of the apartment. I told my buddy, I'm going to marry that girl. And but we had a separation of time, and we came back together, and now here we are. 45 years. To be 45 years. And folks, that's the same way our relationship is with God. You know what? You're only 20, and don't say that, I'll be arrested, hon. Come on now. You got a cop beside you. But see, we're building a relationship. And folks, our relationship with God can be the same way. Man, we've been hanging out with the Lord there for a while, man, just everything goochie-goochie. We can say goochie-goochie talking about Jesus, but often then, we don't know what happened. But all of a sudden we just, well, it's always on our part, because he doesn't leave, but we just get kind of pulled away. We start losing what the Bible says, we start losing our first love, which is the Lord. And we get over here, and it's, you start getting like away from the Lord, you get a little bit colder, don't you? And you start getting, I don't know what's wrong with me, I get upset. And you realize, wait, man, my Jesus, why did I leave my Jesus? He only done everything for me. Well, and the worst thing to do is stay over here. Say, well, I can't go back here. Shh. You can't go back here? I went back, I don't know how many times in my life, to the Master. He wants that. It's going back to Him. Man, it's like, okay, I thought I had a relationship with you before. I'm telling you what, that was nothing compared to what I want now. God, I want to be close to you. I want everything you have for me. I don't care. Tell me your intimacy. Tell me the things in your heart, God. Show me. Show me what pleases you. Anybody watch the movie The King and I? I hate to admit it, guys. I did too, okay? One Night with the King. That's what it was. Yeah, One Night with the King. Yes. Never mind. But it's about Esther. It's a true story. And we watched it last night because this is Purim right now, the celebration of Purim. Celebrating when Esther intervened for her people. If you don't know the story, there's a book of Esther. I really encourage you to read it. But it jumped out at Carol, and she showed me. I never noticed it before. But they gather all these women up. They take them all. Of course, they're all captive. They didn't volunteer to go in. But the king is going to pick out one lady to be a queen. So that's why they call it One Night with the King, right? You got it right. Okay. And so you can't go in front of the king like you are. They got to get you beautified and all this stuff. And they take them into this room. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. And man, I mean, there is gold everywhere. I mean, there's things on your head, necklaces, all kind of stuff. And you pick out whatever you want. And it's yours. If the king does not pick you to be the queen, whatever you select, you can take it with you. Wow. Can you imagine walking in? What would you do? Well, what a lot of ladies did, all except for Esther, oh my land, look at this necklace. Oh, they put it on. Oh, look at these earrings. Put it on. And this one lady, hilarious, she had so much gold on her, so much gold, that when it was time for her to leave, she wasn't picked. They took four guys and a swayback horse to get her on top of it to get her gone. And she just smiled, had all this gold. Okay? Esther, the only wise one there. She watched all these ladies go through all this stuff. And the eunuch standing there, so I'm like, really nice guy. Hey, how about you? What are you going to pick out? And she says something, folks, and just, boom. She says, I don't know. What would please the king? Wow. Where all the others are all about themselves. You know, all right, baby, I don't care if I get picked or not, I got all this stuff. She said, well, I want to know what pleases the king. And she picked out nothing. And when she goes before the king, he's, first of all, kind of like insulted, like, hey, you come before me like this? You know, where's all your gold? I gave you everything I have. What did you pick out? And she basically said, hey, you know, you can't buy love. But what I have for you is my past, my present, and my future. And she had a necklace on. It was given to her for her ancestors. That's everything she was. She took it off. says, here, I'll give you my past, my present, and my future. And it touched the king's heart. And of course, Esther became queen. And by becoming queen, God used her to save her people from being annihilated. Because she wanted to please the king and not herself. Wow. And to me, it really speaks a lot today. You know, our heart is, okay, God offered me all this stuff, but I want to know one thing. What pleases my God? Jesus, He's my King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And I believe it's the same thing that the king represented in the movie. What does he want? He wants your past, your present, and your future. And when you surrender that, that is pure love. True love. That's it, man, it just really jumped out at me. I might watch that movie again. What else am I missing in that, you know? Because my mind was not trying to get that lady on the horse. I thought, man, today prices, that's like $4 million worth of gold, you know? I mean, I bet she went out from the king and found a husband really quick, you know what I'm saying? But our heart to please the king. Heart to please the king. And today, as we continue looking at God in our lives, getting to know Him. How many people know of God, Jehovah? How many people know Him? How many know everything of Him? Exactly. We find Him in our Word. What God is showing us this morning. And God is encouraging God. Do you know that? God is never there to put you down. God is never there to make you stumble. God can to redeem us. And remember in our head here, guys, as a born-again Christian, we now are citizens of heaven, the kingdom of God. And that kingdom lives inside us. Again, to reiterate to you, this world is not your home. This is our battleground. Amen? Heaven is our home. But we don't live our life to get to heaven, because heaven's already here with us. You understand? Sometimes we'll go, man, just give your life to Christ if you want to go to heaven when you die. You don't want to go to hell, do you? And we mean well when we say that. But say, listen, God created you to be in fellowship with Him. You and Him. Intimately. Let's repair that. Come back to Him. And get to know Him. Sometimes we get the point, hey, listen, my name written in the Book of Life, okay? I'll be on that roll when He calls up yonder. And we stop. But folks, we miss so much more in our life if we do that. It's following Him. I mean, I'm missing life 45 years. We've had some ups and downs. I mean, she ain't easy to live with. But I'm telling you. I know. I mean, yeah. And your relationship with God, with the Lord, may have ups and downs. Not because of Him. Because of us, right? Because of our understanding. Because we don't... The more we stay in the Word of God and in prayer, we get to understand God more and more. We get to understand His ways. I know a lot of times we'll say, well, God works in mysterious ways. He does to those who don't know Him. Amen? And so, if I would do something today that seemed like the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life for my wife, and she, man, how stupid can Starkey be? Before she got really mad at me, first of all, she would think, wait a second. He confesses that he loves me. He cares for me. He's been with me through thick and thin. So there had to be a good purpose that he was at least trying to do when he did this. It would cause her to seek me out more, at least in her spirit and her mind, like, okay, what was Starkey really intentions would be? When I say, hey, honey, I didn't mean to do that. It came out all wrong, okay? To believe me that. And she goes, okay, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Well, when we get into life and your life isn't turning out the way you want to, or maybe your prayers that you've been praying, they're not being answered the way that you want them to be answered. And you get, okay, what's going on? What's wrong with God? Wait, stop. Does God love you? Does He care for you? Does He want the best for you? Did Jesus Christ die for our sins? So you think He would want to cast you away with no second thoughts? No, He would not. So we know that if something is involved in our life today and it's gone haywire, we can start thinking, well, wait, God did that to Job, so He's just doing that to me. But that was a particular time what He did with Job. Understand that. The devil asked permission to come after Job. And God said, okay, you can do anything you want. You just can't take his life. He put the barrier down, understand? But see, we have a barrier around us called the blood of Jesus today. Understand that? That cannot be penetrated. That cannot be broken down. That cannot be removed unless we remove ourselves. Amen? If we let the barrier down, otherwise I'm saying, if we step out away from that, we can bring things upon ourselves that God never intended. Have you ever done that? Ever followed Jesus? Woo, on fire for the Lord? But you do something you know that He wouldn't want you to do, and it bites you in the rear? Amen. Amen. Yeah, that just proves it right. So what do? We patch that hole, right? Patching that hole, we repent from God. Come on. Show me, God, how to open that door up to start with. And He does. And we follow Him. His relationship with us, that has to be the top priority in our life. More and more, especially the days that we're in right now. I lost track now. I think they're saying we got three strands now of the coronavirus coming. Okay, this is a third one. And it's going to be different than the other one. And it's going to be this way and that way and all this kind of stuff. But I want to tell you, the same God that protected us through the first strand and the second strand is still the same one through the third strand. Understand that. You know, Psalms 91 covers all things. And we stay under the umbrella. We stay focused on Him. You know, he made a comment. The Lord did that. No weapon formed against us will prosper. I believe that's Isaiah, correct? I'm going to give you the chapter and the verse. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Now we can take that scripture and really become very arrogant with that and take it out of context and live our life however we want to and quote that scripture. And Carol said, well, it's talking, watch out. Hey, don't tell me what to do. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And what she's trying to tell me, hey, watch out. I think you're stepping away from the Lord on that. Now you step out from His covering. Raining outside. Anybody bring an umbrella in today? Do you walk in the umbrella? You stay pretty dry? Did the umbrella do what it's supposed to do? If you're walking an umbrella and you pull it down, you lay it off to the side, and Penny's walking in, she got an umbrella, she lays off to the side. It's raining like crazy, and here comes Corey pedaling on his bicycle. Penny, your umbrella, you raise it up, you get wet. Oh, no. No raindrop will fall on my head, I got an umbrella. But you got to raise up, you got to stay under the umbrella. Amen? Now, I know that's a simple illustration there, but how many times have we stepped out from underneath God's Word, underneath His guidance? How many times have we turned our ears off to the Holy Spirit trying to guide us? Amen? Yes. And no doubt, when Penny got into the church here and she's all soaking wet, she thought, man, I should have listened to Corey. He might be younger. He might be a youngster. But he knew what he's talking about. Okay? And recognize the same way of God with our life. And the days that we were at, man, these are awesome times. And God is preparing His church. So I truly believe He's preparing a church. Those who love Him, man, to be one of the greatest movement of God in the history of mankind as He gets His church shaped in His image. All of Him and not ourselves. That's a big thing, right? How many struggle with the flesh? I figure you bet amen back here from my missus. But Jesus, He He destroyed the flesh at the cross. He did that with the Holy Spirit. Mighty things that God has for your life. But it all comes from us following Him. Now, salvation is a free gift. Understand that. You receive that forgiveness. It's free. Boom. Take it. Then once you take that gift, it allows you to follow Him. See, salvation isn't given to us to live in the world the way that we want to. Because salvation doesn't change the penalty of God's going against God's word. It just doesn't do that. It erases the debt from the past. It gives you a future. But it does not give us a license to stay in sin. Amen? And He doesn't give us that license. That blood covers our sin. But not to stay in there. Okay, God, give me strength. Everybody ever struggle with sin? Amen. Amen. And you go and you go and you go. You get up in the morning and say, I'm done with it. Brand new day. Woo! I haven't had that sin for 12 hours now. It's kind of like when I used to quit smoking, you know. I always quit smoking at midnight. That way I woke up in the morning, had 8 hours out smoking, you know. And by noon I thought, you know, 12 hours is not bad. I was going to have a cigarette, you know. Diets. You ever started a diet? Yep. You started a diet. Awesome, you know. You started at midnight. At least I always did. You know, you get morning 8 hours out eating. Oh, my. Yeah, I know, brother. And next thing you know, boom. But for a lot of us in here, you've never given up. How many people started a diet one time in their life at least? Two times. Three times. Four times. Yeah. Five times. Everybody does 1 week before the doctors, right? I tell you what. I have canceled doctor's appointments before because I gained weight instead of losing weight, you know. He said, well, I'm proud of you, Stark. You lost 5 pounds. And so my next appointment checkup was 6 months later, I gained 5 pounds. Hey, I need to postpone my diet, you know. And then I tried fooling him. You know, 2 nights before my doctor appointment, I drink a lot of prune juice, you know. I found out that you can contain 10 pounds of waste. Yeah, just dumb things. But did it make me any healthier? No. I mean, I should be honest with my doctor. Hey, I'm having a hard time here. And he can leave me, okay? God's the same way. God, I'm having a hard time here. Because He already sees the hard time we go through. I just need help. I need strength. He said, you know, hey, I got a plan for you, He says. Follow me. Follow me. And then we look at a scripture. To me, it really jumps out at us. And we say it a lot. But something He showed me the other day really moved on me. 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 states, greater is He in us than he that's in the world. And as we share on Friday night, He is always a big H, meaning God, meaning the Lord. Then he that's in the world is a small H, meaning Satan. Now, I'll just share a couple more. I'll tie it in. So you don't have to move. You can write down the scripture you want to. But I'm going to look at Romans 8:31. I'm going to tie this all in together. I'm going to tie this all in together. She told me to say it slower. Oh, wait. Romans 8:31. I got you. That's the kind of torment I had with her. I should never do that. So. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And the third one I have here is 1 Peter 5:6. First Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. And all these scriptures shows us how much God, how powerful He is, and the power that he gives to us. And now we can speak these scriptures out. We can say them and be encouraging, you know. It's kind of like halftime in a football locker field, you know. You're down by 44 points, you know. And the coach said, hey, man, we can do this. We can do this. We can defeat them. Yeah. Boom. And you get out there, and reality is you're not going to beat them. You're down 44 at halftime, and you find out they were just taking easy with you. The third string was in, okay? But you can run rapidly and get you pumped up. Like, yeah, we got this. But if you're going to defeat that other team, you need more meat on the front line. You know what I'm saying? You need bigger people. You need stronger people on the front line. And we, the same way, we can say these scriptures out, yeah, and really get us fired up. But if we don't have the muscle behind that, this is going to be words. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. And it goes by following God. Understand that. Hearing his word, hearing his commandments, and follow them. Amen? Think of it. Jesus said, if you love me, I think it's John 15, 14, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right? I will abide in you, you abide in me. Ask the Father anything you want, it should be done. All this. But it's his word. Being obedient to his word. And we go back to Chuck. Chuck, you get paid Friday? You get that $400? We were sharing last week, you know, Chuck got a job. He'd been working out. I'm just using it for example. And he went and applied for a job, and on Monday they hired him. If you remember the scenario. And the boss told him that come Friday you're gonna get $400, Chuck. And Chuck said, wow, $400, that's awesome, man. My first day on the job, I got $400. He said, come Friday. Went home and told Marty all about it. Man, she got excited about it. Good job, Chuck. Tuesday morning, Marty ran and woke Chuck up. Hey Chuck, come on, it's time to go to work. He said, I ain't going to work. What do you mean? You gotta go to work. No. That boss told me I got $400 coming Friday. I don't need to go to work. I'm just going down Friday and pick up my paycheck. Well, didn't the boss say you got a check coming $400? Amen. Okay. Chuck goes in there on Friday, pick up his paycheck, and a check for like $80. He's like, wait, man, you told me I was going to have a check for $400. He says, yes, but that was on the assumption that you was going to work for it. You know, when you fill out the application and we told you the 40-hour day work week and you got paid so much an hour and the hours you're going to work and you agreed to that, that's what the end result would be. Oh, welcome Monday morning. He knew better, get up, go to work Tuesday. He learned from that. Amen? He did. And we look at the scriptures. When he says that no weapon formed against us will prosper, he's talking to us. Okay, you signed the contract. You put it this way. Man, you gave your life to Christ. I'm going to follow Jesus now. Now, as we follow him, we are protected by him. We're under the umbrella. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. But if we decide to lay that umbrella down, and we declare that no weapon is going to form against me is going to prosper, folks, we're kind of gambling, ain't we? Now, we can put our guard down not knowingly. That's why it's so important to hear the word of God. All his promises, he's talking to the folks, hey, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. You know, I'm not turning back. It's like, okay, we were dating, we broke up, and now I'm all yours, man, and I ain't going back. Now, the trouble is, you ever start dating somebody? Make sure I say this right. You ever date somebody? You break up. Then you go back to them, and somebody don't want to see it happen. And next thing you know, an old boyfriend or girlfriend shows up, tapping on her shoulder. Maybe you haven't. I have. Yeah. I had two girlfriends in my life. Yeah, that's it now. And that's what happens to us. When we recognize, man, that our relationship with God has to be number one, and we turn back, and next thing we know, the things from that little gap we got ourselves involved in, before we were separated, starts coming back and trying to drag us back. But you know, you can't do that if we are truly sincere that, hey, it's Jesus or nothing. I'm going to put my feet in the ground and I'm going to hang on to him. So then you have the victory, right? But who is inside of you? Jesus. What's that? If you're born again, yes, I'm getting that point. Thank you. Yeah, John 1:10, 1:12, it says, for those who receive Jesus Christ, become a child of God. Amen? If I can say adopted into the family, co-heirs to the throne, that you and Jesus are brothers, or put it that way. I mean, co-heirs, everything is yours. It's like having all that gold on you, being in the house of the king. It's all yours. But may we never ever get the point of worshiping the gold and not the one who provided it. But the key here in this next verse is what I said earlier. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Christ. So Christ is the living word of God. If Christ is in you, and you're in there, how many of you going to eat dinner this afternoon? Oh, no, you're not sure what I'm having yet, huh? Okay. It's a barnyard special Marzetti, so yes, it's delicious. But you know we have to feed the physical. Well, Christ is in us as a born-again Christian. Now look at the way he needs to be fed also. If he's in you, how did he operate in the world? When he says that the things that I have done, guys, the things that Jesus Christ did upon this earth, he says even greater things that you do. How many people think Jesus is awesome? How many people say Jesus, how many of you read where he brought the dead back to life? Healed the leopard, the blind, forgave folks of their sins. I mean, just amazing. He says greater thing that we'll do, because number one is that Jesus is only one place at a time. But Christ living in us, and how many Christians, followers of Christ, is there in the world right now? He's everywhere, right? I mean, God's omnipresent, but he works through us, okay? But the key to our prayer life, a key to our relationship, rests upon who lives in you. And when he says that greater, or the same things or greater things that I did, you'll do also, we need to look at what did Jesus do? Okay? Question. What did Jesus do? What comes to mind when I say, what did Jesus do? Healed the leopard. Okay. What else did Jesus do? He died on the cross for your sins. He laid his life down for you. He didn't keep his life for himself. He laid it down for you. Awesome. Who else? Somebody else? Something come to mind? Okay, it's hard to put you on a spot like that. But I think number one, any answer is great compared to Jesus. Well, Maggie said this, or Margaret, Maggie? Okay. We went to school together, so I just, okay. We look at Christ, and Christ lives in you. How does he live in us? The greatest is when we do what he did, and that's die. Die to self. When we try to keep Jesus alive in our life, in ourself, and when I say self, we're talking about the world, the worldly things alive in ourselves. There's a conflict going on, amen? You get miserable, nothing goes right, you get upset, you want to throw the towel in. Why? Because you've got two worlds fighting for a position of your heart. And if I can say fighting, I want to say struggling. Now, Jesus doesn't struggle. He's there. He's like, okay. I came into your life. You invited me. I'm here. But you got this other dude in here, man. And I'm here to do what I do. But you have to decide you don't want the other part in your life. But you don't want nothing to do with the world. You want to cast it out. You want to entertain it. Like this. And you're sitting here today thinking, man, I give my life to Christ. I follow him. I'm still struggling. This part inside of me, I just can't get it out. Maybe it's a demonic influence. And folks, demonic world is true. Please understand that. And when you get attacked, demonic, I mean, spirit of depression come over, spirit of suicide come over top of you, fornication, any sin you can think of, there's a spirit behind that. And you get such a grasp on you that maybe you can't get shook free from it. But did Jesus cast out demons? Oh, yes, he did. Did he recognize who they were? Oh. Some of them, he called them by name. Other ones, unclean spirit. That's his authority. That's his power. Now, how many people can look at today and say, man, there must be a lot of demonic activity going on? Anybody? Amen. Look at all the perversion. Do you not think it's a demonic attack when we're murdering babies outside the womb now? You don't think of the evil attack when we're saying, no, you can't minister first aid to that baby? And it's been aborted. It has to sit in a struggle to death. You know, that is evil. That's demonic forces. Oh, any law is perverting the things of God. And folks, remember, Jesus says the truth shall do what? Amen. The truth. So, first off, take someone hearing nothing but lies, and they don't know. They're wrapped up in all these lies. They're not hearing the truth. I mean, sin is sin. But man, they need delivered. They need to hear the truth. That's what I love about brothers and sisters in the Lord who go outside of some of these clinics, abortion clinics, and out of love, try to witness the folks who've gone in. Because some of them don't know. But that's the only thing they need help. And who's there to help them? The left, the liberal. Satan's there to help destroy. They have no hope. They don't know where to turn. They just need relief. You don't care how you get it. I just need something different today. And if you're looking for that relief and you look in the wrong direction, next thing you know, you get grasped by something that's really coming to your life to destroy you. But you don't know. At least somebody's there. That's where the devil gets the upper hand, I think, at times. Because here we are, having the truth, been set free, greater he that's in us and he that's in the world. And we can sit back and watch people go to hell because we don't want to get involved. Because we don't want to get persecuted. We don't want to get shamed. Amen? To Gagus. And some of the reason why, because he's bringing your past up. And what you just were agitated today about, that was you at one time. But you've been delivered, amen? Been forgiven. The truth is in you. Oh man, it's just, my heart goes out to the lies and the schemes that the devil uses to trap people. And once he gets them in there, he wants to destroy them. And later on in life, people will look back, man, I did that. Now they feel worthless, terrible. Satan comes in their head like, man, you're no good. Nothing. God can't do nothing for you. But can God forgive us? Does God want to forgive us? Does he want to restore our life? Our relationship? Yes. Does he not want us to forgive one another? And you say, well, I just can't forgive him. You can't, but Christ in you can. One key here. I'm going to show you. I think it will help you. I know it will help you. It helped Jesus. It hasn't changed any. Is who living inside of you? Okay. Amen. In your Bibles, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 4 and write down the scriptures, I'm going to share starting at verse 1. And we're going to pick up where Jesus is at. He got baptized. Just came out of the Jordan. He's ready to do what God's called him to do. The Father in heaven, man. He's ready to start his ministry. And you might say, well, that's Jesus and his ministry. But we've all been called to be ministers. Amen? Some are called to be teachers and pastors, but we all have been called to minister the Word of God. And not just through our vocals, but also how we live our life. And look what the Master did. This was Jesus, the one who lives in us. One who gave us breath, the one who gave us strength. says in verse 1, then Jesus, after being baptized, folks, was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now remember right there, God is in the flesh. This is Jesus. He's in the same body that we are in. And this time he has the same spirit that we can have, is the Holy Spirit. See, for 30 years, you don't read anything in Scripture where Satan come to torment Jesus. Amen? You see where he's in there in the temple talking about the Heavenly Father, he's hanging out with Mary, learning to be a carpenter, doing all these things. Really getting along pretty decent. You know what I'm saying? So just maybe, now this is just Starkey's thinking, okay? This is in the book of Starkey. Satan knows something's going on. Not quite sure what it is. So he's eyeballing this Jesus dude, you know? And well, he's talking, he's reading out of that Torah. But a lot of people read out. Well, look at the priests. They're reading out of the Torah. And they're, at this time, some of them were crooked. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Not all. Some. So he's coming back like this. Okay. This dude ain't hurt me none. He's working with his dad. He's building furniture, you know, hanging out with friends. And doing pretty decent. But the day that he went and got baptized, hell shook. That Holy Spirit sent upon him the power of God Almighty, the power that created the heavens and the earth, the power that when something was spoken, was created. Whoa, hang on a second. Satan said, this is my territory. I was cast down here. Adam and Eve, Adam gave me the deed to earth. Now who is this dude showing up now? What's his power? Oh, he recognized it. He had the same power in heaven that said, Lucifer, out. There's no struggle in heaven. There was no fight. Oh, come on, Lucifer. God's swinging back and forth. No. Lucifer, a fallen angel. I saw an angel, a created being in God. And that same spirit that said, hey, dude, out. Now on earth. It just showed up. Jesus got baptized in it. Now is God the same today as he was yesterday? Be the same tomorrow that God ever changes? So why? Why would the same spirit, why would Elohim, who threw me out of heaven, show up down here? Well, he didn't come down here to give me a party. I know he didn't come down here to shake hands with me. He came down here to destroy me. I know him. Wow. But look at the wisdom. Right away, I mean, Jesus could be, I don't know how smart he was before he got baptized. I mean, he had to be intelligent, I would say. Carpenter, I mean, to me, I can't cut nothing. But when he said, okay, about my father's business. He was baptized in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And the first thing the Holy Spirit said, hey man, listen. And again, this is me just referencing. It's in the scriptures. Hey dude. We'll come against hell. You're going to go to hell. You're going to take back the keys from the devil. You're going to conquer death, the grave. You're going to release the captives. Man, I'm telling you, and there's some dude on this earth that ain't going to like that too well. His name is Lucifer, or we call him Satan now. But you can do this. But you can't do it in the physical anymore. You have to do it in the supernatural. And that's with the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit available to us. Repent from your sins, be baptized, and see the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God doesn't want you defeated. Would Jesus be able to defeat Satan without the Holy Spirit? No way. No matter how much he loved God, the Holy Spirit is that weapon, is that strength for us to be overcomers. But the man, listen, dude, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. He's coming after you, but I'm going to tell you what we're going to do first. I'm going to take you out here in the wilderness. We're going to hang out. Take you away from all the distractions of the world. All the people saying, hey, listen, my leg fell off my table maybe 2 years ago. All the stuff that people want you to do, you come out here and we're going to fast. And you're going to pray for 40 days and 40 nights, preparing him for it. It's no different than you. Satan didn't care much about you before you come to Jesus. He really didn't care what you did. He didn't care you might show up to church once in a while. He didn't care if you gave the pastor a couple bucks once in a while. I do, but he didn't. All that stuff, he didn't care. No, man. Woo. You came to church on Easter? Oh, awesome. Showed up on Christmas? Wow. That was me. Okay. Once in a while I throw in one or two. But man, the moment you've decided to receive God in your life, when you decided to turn your life over, when you recognize the schemes of the enemy, that you're wrapped up in constant deceit and lies, that you were even born in a lie, born in sin, born of sin nature, all the stuff that you were doing, you had no idea that, actually, if you look at the scriptures, the devil was your father. It's just natural. It's just normal. I mean, doesn't birds of a feather flock together, they tell me? Well, at least that's a saying. So what did we do? We hang around people with feathers like us. The same feathers that we have, right? We hang around. Why? It made us feel better. If we ever got around any of them religious folks, it made us feel kind of bad in a way. Part of us hated them. They're greater now. They think they're better than I am. So what did we do? We got more feathers, hung around more people. But somewhere along the line, something came to you, and you woke up. Man, I am a sinner. I'm headed to hell. I don't have a relationship with my Father. Somehow the love of God touched you, whether it's through the Spirit of God laying upon you, or whether someone witnessing to you. Somewhere along the line, I thought, man, I am sick and tired of being played by the devil. I'm tired of being his pawn. But eventually, he's going to drag me into hell with him. Not really drag me. I'm going to follow him into hell. Satan's going to be bound and cast in hell. He ain't going to go to hell. He's never even been there yet. So you can imagine and say, Satan, go back to hell where you come from. He's never been there yet. Think about it. But folks, when you declare Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, not just with your mouth, but with your heart, Satan said, oh, not again. He said, not again. Then he come after you. How many got attached when you give your life to Christ? You know, I had like a 6-month honeymoon. I think we all had a honeymoon. You know, he's, oh man, it's awesome. You know, I never laid down my Bible and awesome. But then after 6 months or so, things got real. I didn't just sign on for heaven. I should have read small print. A warrior for Christ. I'll be persecuted, hated. Some of us will be put to death. Family members will leave me. I might lose my job, my place of residency, all this stuff. But I traded my life, my sinful, ugly, headed to hell, death life, to God, who forgave me. Of all my deceivingness I've received, all the lies I believed, he forgave me. Come on. Follow me. And that moment happened, here comes Satan. He don't want to lose you. He wants to destroy you. And it comes very hard at times. But then we find out. We find out. We get, oh man, I am tired of this. Every time I try to share Jesus or live for him, I try to read the scriptures, things happen. And he had a flat tire 18 years. Got born again, come in the church, my tire goes flat. I just stayed home. So what we decided to do? Okay, I believe in the Lord, but I'm staying home. I'm not going to witness nobody anymore. I'm not going to share His love. I'm not going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm not going to pray for my enemies. I'm going to curse those who persecute me. Well, if you're isolated like that, you're not much of a threat to the devil anymore. He might have lost you. Devil might have. But you ain't no threat to him. You're not going to start a revival in your neighborhood. So you're more at peace. Oh, it's nice now. I'm so peaceful. I'm going to heaven when I die. But did Jesus do that? Because he understood his purpose. His purpose was to live his life to redeem us from our sins. That he traded our death sentence to him for life. But it goes back to the key. As Maggie said, Christ died for us. He expects us to die for others. And boy, I tell you, the old man tries to resurrect itself, does it not? Your mouth ever get you in trouble? Yes. That's one thing I love about these masks we have to wear someplace. At least you can't hear what I say. God forgive me. But it goes back, the key, I'll leave here. We'll pick up next week on this. The key for your victory is believing the Word of God. It's prayer and fasting. Jesus did it. Look, 40 days he was prepared for the devil. Ever the devil threw at him, he overcame it. He quoted Scripture. We realize Satan knows Scriptures too. You know that, right? He probably knows it better than most of us in here. Okay, he knows his enemy pretty well, and that's us. We need to know our enemy by knowing God's Word. Because when you know the Word of God and what He says, then we can recognize those who are not of the faith of the Father, and we're prepared. Okay, are they really got my best concern here? Or are they come to steal, kill, and destroy? So I challenge you, what are you struggling with? What are you even fighting? Declare fast. Trust me in this. This is what Jesus did. Fast a meal this week. And be in prayer. And seeking God. What prayer and fasting does, it weakens, it takes our flesh under control. It heightens our spirit. We can hear God a lot easier that way. But just one meal, if you want to start with. Or just have a day of liquids. Come on, guys. Apple juice. I'm not talking about beer and whiskey, okay? But just have to, okay, God, I don't know what's going on wrong in my life. I don't know where I'm at. But I'm going to give my lunch today. And I'm going to seek your face, God. And when we say pray to God, it's meaning talking to God. Point your heart out. You can hear a lot more. My wife and I, we want to talk to one another. We can shut off the TV if I really want to hear her. And when we fast, it's like shutting off the TV that we hear God. And be honest, God, search my heart. In my heart, truly, show me anything in my life, the stumbling blocks that I have in there. You know, if you guys know Jensen Franklin or not, he's a pastor we listen to a lot. And every year their church does a 21-day fast. He's really awesome in fasting. But they start off a 21-day fast, but it started off 3 days of nothing but juice. You know, have your cranberry juice, okay? And then on the fourth day, they do a Daniel fast for the rest of the time. And a Daniel fast is not eating any good-tasting food, put it that way. I eat normal at home, but no. Fruits and vegetables. Daniel fast also is no meat, no wine. You can have fish. But it has to be the stuff that's really healthy for you. It's good for you, but we don't fast to lose weight. It's strengthened. And so anyway, we'll just, as we continue next couple weeks, we'll be talking more about how God uses prayer and fasting to tear down strongholds, to set you free. When you've been struggling with something, I just can't get over it. Okay, I'm going to fast my dinner today. And God, I'm going to hang out and talk to you. And just keep talking to God. And why it'll start revealing things. Now remember why you're fasting, okay? To get closer to God, to understand God more. Because Satan will try to come and tempt you. You know, if Josh says tonight, I'm not going to eat any prime rib tonight. I'm not going to eat meat tonight. You know, five guys call him, hey Josh, we got a hog over here. We got cooking, you know, trying to get you. Yeah, I'm going to eat dinner. But we realize, wait, no. So if you really want, I won't say that. But whatever you want to do, just let God know. Write it down. I'm going to fast today because I'm seeking revelation on my employment. I need God's wisdom on which job to take. If you write it down, then you know the reason why behind it. You're seeking God. And that way, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, your belly's growling. You think, it's pretty close to 6 o'clock. When you read that note, I want this. And normally, I get the greatest revelation right toward the end of the fast. You know, me and God really... He really gives me a lot of awesomeness there. But we'll continue next week on how fast is that people free and the type of fast there is. And don't be scared. I mean, we're still having lunch today. We're not calling it fast today. But this is how, when we say that greater he that's in me, that he's in the world, this in me is strengthened through prayer and fasting, give us victorious, not just for ourselves, but also for the world. So, amen.